the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're finishing up Louisa and the Bread, the Food of the Divine Will. We are on page 14 at the bottom of the page. Volume 36, 12-18-1938. So Jesus begins, "Our divine will is our life. It is the love, it is food. It is the food of God." This is the first bread. This is why we were focusing on this. You know, in the Our Father, you say, "Give us this day our daily bread." It's the wonder bread that we eat, the daily bread at our tables. It's the supersubstantial bread of the Holy Eucharist at Holy Mass, the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. And the first bread, which Jesus says is not known yet, and that is the bread of the divine will. This is what Adam fed. This is what Adam ate. This is what Jesus and Mary lived on. A lot of people say Louisa lived on the Holy Eucharist, and yes, she did, but there was times when she did not receive the Holy Eucharist every day. And she lived on the first bread, the bread of the divine will. And the reason, Jesus says, that he gives us the second bread, the supersubstantial bread of the Holy Eucharist at Holy Mass, where we receive in a mystical way the body, blood, soul, and the divinity of Christ, the real presence of Christ, in a mystical way, and until the host dissolves, and then the real presence of Christ in that mystical way is gone. He says the whole reason for giving the Church the Holy Eucharist is to prepare the people to receive the perennial communion with Christ, the perennial communion with God. This is to walk and talk with God in the cool of the evening, as Adam did. This is when Jesus went off to the desert to pray. He was with the Father and the Holy Spirit. It was to be in the presence of God. And Jesus says this is a real way, not in a mystical way. And that's something that the Church is going to discover and focus on in the third millennium. That's exactly what St. Padre Pio said. The world of the Church will focus on Louisa Nicaretta and the divine will in the third millennium. And this is what's happening. We, by the grace of God, have been given this opportunity to focus on the first bread, the bread of the divine will. And what does Jesus say in this last document that we're reading, the last page? Is he says, "Our divine will is our life." I want you to receive the divine will, Jesus says. I want you to enter into this divine will of God. And why? It's to enter into the true life of God, to enter into that gift of gifts, that prodigy of prodigies. Again, there's four stages. The first stage is you're inside a house with all the windows closed. That's where most people are. Most people are in the house with it, and it's closed. The windows are closed. The second stage is you open the windows. You remove the curtains, you remove the blinds, you remove the shades, and the light comes in. And that's where the Christians are. They're beginning to understand Jesus. They're beginning to understand the life of God, the light of God. It's so beautiful. You can look from side to side in the window, and you can, you know, see everything around you. The third stage is to go outside and to be out in the sunlight. Now you can look all around you and you see the fields and the forests and the hills, the mountains, the clouds, the rivers, the lakes, the oceans. You begin to see everything around you and you begin to delight in it. And that's where we are in the divine will. It's not only the sacraments and sacramentals that we have received, But now Jesus is saying, I want you to now enter into the sacrament of sacraments, this great gift of the divine will. And as we participate in this truth, these truths that Jesus has given to us through Louisa, we begin to become more alive. Sacred Scripture becomes more alive. The sacraments become more alive for us. Our prayers become more alive. Why? You're in the sun. You're participating in, you're not just looking through a window. And then finally the fourth stage, and it's to leave earth and enter into the sun of God, the sun, S-U-N, of the divine will. To dissolve into our nothingness so that we can participate in God, one in God. We become that drop of water that Jesus says in the infinite ocean of love. You're just a drop. You're just a drop of nothing in that infinite ocean of love. Yet you possess everything in that infinite ocean. You become one in that infinite ocean. And that's why Jesus says, I want you to surrender your human will. I want you to use your free will to choose to live in my most holy divine will, to begin to participate in God. So what God gave the saints was to be in, to know, love, and serve God. You know, through prayer, fasting, penance, mortifications. That's where the saints were. What Jesus is asking of us is to enter into this gift, to participate in God, to breathe in that Ruah of God, that breath of God, as Adam did, in that, into that dust, and out of the dust came the image and likeness of God. He shared in divinity. He participated in this divine life of the divine will. And that's what God is waiting for. He's waiting for us to begin to live this abundant life. He saved the best for last. And he's asking us, do you know what my divine will is? It's the life of the Holy Trinity. He says, and this life, the food of this life is love. And this is why Jesus says, if your prayers aren't answered, he says this when he gave the Our Father, when he taught the Our Father. He says, if your life isn't of love, he says, I cannot answer your prayers. You know, if you haven't forgiven everybody, how can my Heavenly Father forgive you? A lot of people pray and they say, God doesn't answer my prayers. Well, you got to look at who haven't you forgiven? Who do you still have a grudge against? Who do you still, you know, despise? Just, you know, basically the saints have taught us that you love God as much as you hate anyone on earth. That's how much you love God. See, it's to love God with your whole mind, your whole heart, and all your strength, and to love your neighbor as you love yourself. So if your prayers are not answered, gotta go look at your life. Who haven't you forgiven? Who do you hold a grudge against? Who are you annoyed with? See, Jesus says you have to have the heroic forgiveness of Christ crucified. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's what Jesus is looking for in us. He's taught us. So he says to see the high, the noble, the sublime point at which we, triune God, want the soul, want the creature. We, triune God, Jesus says, want to form in the soul the life of our most holy divine will, the life of God, image and likeness. Adam lost it. Adam fell. And we've lived, his children, he and his children lived in this way for, since we've fallen. And it's worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. It's selfishness, self-centeredness. It's ego. It's being an egomaniac. It's pride. And Jesus says, this is not how I created you. I wanted you to be one with me, living in my image and likeness. So he says, see the high, noble, and sublime point at which God wanted mankind. God wanted to form in mankind the life of our most holy divine will, which is the life of love, the life of light. And that's why he says this love is the food that we, God, give to mankind, that we, God, eat. He says, it shall convert all things, convert everything. Everything on the face of the earth is going to be converted. He says, all circumstances, all crosses, even the air that you breathe will be converted into divine love and feeding the soul in order to say to each and every person, the life of our most holy divine will is yours and it is ours. We eat the same food. God and man eat the same food. It's the food of love. And so our Lord is looking at us and he's saying, do you want to begin to live this abundant life? He says, now is the time that I'm going to give it to the world. You know, that's why our Lady of Revelation said to Bruno, time has now come to an end. It's not the end of the world. It's the end of the way we've been living for the last 6,000 years. Jesus redeemed us 2,000 years ago. Yet our Lady has stated in some of her apparitions that the world is far worse than it was at the time of the flood. Our God has got great plans, and we're in them. If we can cooperate with God, if we don't want to cooperate with God, God says, then I have to give you what you want. And a lot of people have already done that. They've already said to God what they want. They said that to God and how they treat Christ and his church, how they treat themselves and others. And for a lot of people, they've begun to live a life of hell. And Jesus wants to free us of that. And that's why he says, turn to me, all you who are weary and find life burdensome, and I will refresh you. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart. That's our Savior. That's our King. That's our Master. That's our God. The evil one, you know, fills us with everything separate from God. And he's a liar and a murderer, God, Jesus said, from the beginning. The devil is a liar and a murderer from the beginning. And he tries to seduce mankind to follow his way. And our job is to get closer and closer to Jesus. Get closer and closer to Jesus. So he says, the life of our holy divine will is yours and it is ours. We, Triune God, and you, mankind, we eat the same food. Through this, Jesus says, we, Triune God, see the soul growing in our image and likeness. If we eat the same food that God possesses, that's how we end up in God's image and likeness. What is the food that he eats? What is the food that God consumes? And he says, it is my most holy divine will. It is the first bread. And so our Lord is saying to us, I want to be so one with you that you and I are together in this great gift. We're one in God, fused with God. And again, when you do your prevenient act in the morning, your actual acts throughout the day, make sure that you fuse yourself in the Holy Spirit. That's what Jesus says. Fuse yourself in the divine will. Fuse yourself in the Holy Spirit. You know, begin to live this abundant life. Begin to live this life of peace, joy, and happiness. You know, get rid of all worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. Get rid of all that is bound you to the evil one. And that's an unforgiving heart. That's a non-loving heart. It's to begin to enter into this abundant life of Jesus, this abundant life of Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. He says, we see the creature growing in our image and likeness when we eat the same food. when we participate in the divine will. These are the true joys of our creation. The true joys. What does Jesus say in Scripture? I want to give you my joy, my true joy, so that your joy may be complete. What is the true joys? Being able to say to our children, Jesus says, that we look alike. The triune God and mankind look alike. That's why you're baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That's why God has given us our intellect, memory, and will. So that the three powers that he gave us are all one with God. So again, what do we do? Our intellect, we have to begin to see things from Christ's point of view, from a divine perspective. Where do we learn that? In the book of heaven. We learn it from the saints, how to do the will of God. But now to live in the will of God is in the book of heaven. And that's what God is waiting for. Who wants this life, Jesus says? Who wants this abundant life? And when we say we do, he goes, okay, read, study, put this into practice. You know, one of the things we're going to focus on soon is the six steps that Jesus taught Louisa, our Blessed Mother taught Louisa in the first 6 days of the Virgin Mary in the kingdom of the divine will. And that's what God wants. As you learn these six steps in the first 6 days of the Virgin Mary in the kingdom, you begin to look like God. It's why? Jesus is the Word, and when he speaks, that Word transforms us, transmutes us. And that's what God is waiting for. And he says very clearly, and what wouldn't be the joy of the creature saying, I look like my Heavenly Father. And then, this is why I, God, want the creatures to live in my divine will. I want my children to look like me. This is the joy of heaven and the joy of earth. We begin to look like God. Image and likeness. God, it's not that God looks like us. But you see, in the fallen state, you know, this is not what God wanted for us. We're supposed to be eternally young, as God is eternally young. We're supposed to be so one with God that we become what God created us to be, a divine masterpiece. So we can say, I look like my Heavenly Father. I want, Jesus says, my children to look like me. Now think about that. It's to look like Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. We have to have their divine qualities. We have to have the human inadequacies can't be with us. It's we've got to share the divine qualities of Jesus. It's the divine qualities of Mary. Now, Louisa possesses that. And the only thing that Louisa is missing, because Jesus says, everything that I possess, I give to you, Louisa. The only thing that Louisa is missing is the resurrection. When she died and when they dug up her body in, what was it, 1963, and they brought it to the church, she was perfectly preserved, perfectly preserved. It looked like she was sleeping, and everybody was in awe. They said, you know, she was beautiful, like she was just sleeping. And as they watched, in a very short period of time, like the count of 1, 2, 3, the body turned into dust. And all those that saw Louisa, recognized that, and they witnessed to this. It's all documented that she was not like any human that they've ever seen that they've dug up. I mean, they dug up the body of Padre Bucci. No, excuse me. Sorry, Father Bucci. Padre Pio. it wasn't the most pleasant thing in the world. They had a death mask that they made of his face, and that is over his body, his corrupted body. But it's not the actual face of Padre Pio. It was a death mask that they used. And it's good to see him, but it's not the actual body of the exterior body of Padre Pio. So Jesus says this: I want my children to look like me. I want you to share in my divinity. I want you to have my divine aspects. I want you to have my the perfect life of Jesus, the perfect life of Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. And this is what we're all going to possess someday, one day. So he says, if my children do not come back in my most holy divine will, we, triune God, find ourselves in the condition of a poor father who is noble, who is full of knowledge, as to be able to give lessons to all, rich and filled with goodness and rare beauty. So here he's saying a human father full of knowledge, a human father that can give lessons, a human father that's rich, a human father that's filled with goodness and rare beauty. But his children don't look like him at all. They have degenerated from the nobility of their father. They are so poor, they're so moronic, they're so ugly, they're so filthy as to be disgusting. Now here, what would a father do if his children didn't look like him and his wife? What would they look? What would he do? He'd be sad, a little bit. They can't walk, they can't see, they can't hear. They can't think, they can't speak, they can't do anything. That's how far we fell when Adam fell. Because Jesus says Adam couldn't tell his children about the divine will. He lost the language. All he could do was weep. And he wept for the rest of his life. So Jesus says that poor father, that poor human father feels dishonored by his children and even looks at them and almost doesn't recognize them, seeing them blind and crippled and sick. They don't even recognize their own father. These children are the pain, the sorrow, the suffering of their own father. That's where mankind is today. God has given us the Holy Church. He's given us the sacraments, the sacramentals. He's given us his mother. He's given us the vicar of Christ on earth. And how far people are from living peaceful, joyful, happy lives. There are a few who have. The saints have done this. And they're happy. They're sad and happy because they want God to receive all the honor, all the glory, all the praise that our God so rightly deserves. But they don't recognize God at all. They're far from him. I mean, the sorrow is because everyone around, and it's like going to adoration. You go to the church, you genuflect and you kneel in front of our Eucharistic Lord and you're happy. But sad. Because no one's there but you. And you say to Jesus, I want to kneel in front of you, Lord, to adore you, to love you, to praise you, to thank you. For all my brothers and sisters who are not here, I want to kneel for them. I want to stand in the breach for them as Moses stood in the breach for the Israelites, to adore you and love you and praise you and thank you and bless you and adore you and worship you. But more than that, to enter into the divine will, to participate in this gift within, through, and for you as you participate. participate in, with, and through, and for me, so that all glory and honor that goes to our Heavenly Father comes through you. It's to breathe in my breathing, Jesus. Beat in my heart beating, Jesus. Gaze in my gazing, Jesus. Adore in my adoring, Jesus. I want your adoration to you, give to you. I want your praise to give to you. My human praise is nothing. My human adoration is nothing compared to your divine adoration, your divine praise, your divine love. So what happens is, yes, there is a happiness being with our Eucharistic Lord in front of the monstrance, but also a sadness. The church should be filled. We just had Super Bowl Sunday. Millions cheered watching pigskin being thrown from one end of the field to the other. How many of those millions cheered Jesus that day? With his adoration, with his praise, with his glory. And this is what he says. They don't even recognize their father. These children are the pain of their own father. And then Jesus says, this happens to us, triune God, as well. Those who don't live in our most holy divine will dishonor us, triune God. Do you believe that? How many funerals have you gone to where somebody says, oh, Joe is now in heaven playing golf with his buddies? I don't think so. We have no understanding of God. We have no understanding what God so rightly deserves. Every I love you, and with every thought, word, and deed, with every heartbeat, with every breath, with every step that we take, is that I should be an I love you to God. Those who don't live in our most holy divine will dishonor us and become our divine pain, the triune God, divine sorrow. You see what God has called us to be in his image and likeness. This is what it means to live in the divine will, to enter into God's image and likeness, to go outside into the sun and then let go of earth and enter into the sun and dissolve in the sun, S-U-N, of heaven. Jesus says, how can these look like us, triune God, if our divine will is not their own, if we don't possess this gift? God is calling us to the height of heights, the sanctity of sanctity. It's not about being good and holy and saintly. That's just the first 10 books of the 36 volumes. To be the divine mirror of Jesus. It's not just to live in the divine will through volume 11 through volume 19, but also to possess the divine inheritance of the Father. That's volume 20 through volume 36. We have a lot to catch up on. We have a great deal to do before everything is wrapped up. He says, how can they look like us if they don't have the divine will as their own? Our divine will feeds our children with our own divine food and forms our divine sanctity in our children as they eat it. They are embellished with our divine beauty. They acquire great divine knowledge of their Heavenly Father. We begin to understand and love our Heavenly Father. Like, for example, when was the last time, with your own words, your own tune, you sang to your I love you to our Heavenly Father? Jesus did this every day. How often have we sang to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to possess this life? How many times have we thanked Jesus for his redemption and the Blessed Mother, for her co-redeeming with Christ, standing at the foot of the cross, dying literally dying as she watched her son die. The most beautiful of all souls. Jesus says, my mother would have died if it wasn't for the great gift of the divine will that kept her alive. Jesus says, I want you to be embellished by my divine beauty. I want you to acquire great knowledge of our Heavenly Father. It's the knowledge that Jesus possesses. That's why I said we have to begin to think with a divine perspective so that our memory will be of God, not of our ourselves or our family, but of God. How many people do I know history so well? Or know math so well, or science so well. But when you bring up God, they have no idea who God is. They don't keep holy the Sabbath. It doesn't mean anything to them. But they're very knowledgeable of the things of earth. Have we acquired the great knowledge of our Heavenly Father? That's what God is looking for. That's what makes us happy. Knowing God, loving God, but not only serving God, but possessing God. That's what God gave to Louisa. Our fiat speaks through its light and tells them many things about their Heavenly Father until they fall in love with the Father to the extent that they just cannot be without Him. When was the last time you sang, and I love you, to your Heavenly Father? Think about it. I mean, God has given us a song in our heart. It's our own song. It's our own hymn that we sing to our Heavenly Father. Have we ever gotten close to it? Recognizing our Heavenly Father. Recognizing that we cannot live without Him. We cannot exist without Him. He's our everything. That's why that whole talk on returning to the womb of the Father, it's to enter into that life that God originally planned for us. Are we falling in love with God? And if we're not, it's because we haven't looked at Christ crucified, number one. We haven't spent time in front of our Eucharistic Lord. See, when we look at Christ crucified, when we look at the cross, with Jesus crucified on that cross, we begin to understand what our Heavenly Father did. He said, my son, I want you dead. I want you dead, crucified. I want you to take the place of all my children. And Jesus says, not my will, but your will be done. Jesus hangs on the cross. That's our sin that he put on upon himself. He shed every drop of his blood for us. Do we kiss the cross? Do we venerate the cross? And tell him how much we love him. We say to our Heavenly Father, sing to our Heavenly Father how much we love him. For sending his son, his only begotten son, to the earth to die in our place. And Our Lady, the same thing. She knew either Jesus died or all of us would die forever. And she said, son, I want you dead. I want you dead, crucified. I want you to take the place of all my children that you have given me to be their mother. This makes them look like the Father. He says, Louisa, my daughter, without my divine will, there is no one who can feed it, understand it, or form it, or grow it, as can the children who look like us, Triune God. This food, falling in love with God. He says, no one can do this. No one can feed it, understand it, form it, grow it, as my children, the little children of the Holy Divine Will, can do. Because they look like us. They act like us. They're in love with us as we are in love with ourselves. Everything is based on love. The seraphic love of St. Francis. You know, we think about that. The seraph, you know, appearing to St. Francis. Angels above, angels below, angels hovering, angel wings hovering. Above, below, and hovering. Six wings in seraphic. God wants more than that, what he gave to Francis. He wants us to live with his divine love, not just a seraphic love, the angels' love, but God's most holy divine love. He says, these are the souls that can do it, who are feeding on that first bread, the bread of the divine will, nourishing themselves with this first bread, the bread that God gave to Adam before the fall, the bread that Jesus ate on earth, the bread that Mary ate on earth, the bread that they fed Louisa, the bread of the divine will. And Jesus says, instead of looking like us, they leave our house. Instead, they leave our house and they do not know what we, Triune God, do, what we, Triune God, are, and how much we, Triune God, love them. We're here on earth to know what God does, to know who God is, and how much God loves us. That's why we're here. To remember what Adam forgot. Or what they need to do to be like us. So the book of heaven is to learn how to live this abundant life. The book of heaven is very, very clear. It's the how and the why this is going to happen. He says that you need to do what you need to do to be like us, Triune God. That's the rounds. Praying the rounds, that's the prayers that Jesus prayed on earth. That's the prayers that Our Lady prayed. That's what they tell us. That's what they spoke to Louisa. And he says, pray your rounds every day. This is how I prayed. This is how Adam prayed before the fall. This is what God wanted from Adam. To recognize who God is in God's image and likeness, and then to do what God does. This is what you need to do to be like us, Triune God. Again, for each person, as you read, God is going to show you something that's a little different from somebody else. It's not because everything is different. No, we're a many-faceted crystal. The church is each individual is a beautiful light. But when we're all together, each light shines like a many-faceted crystal. A most beautiful diamond that you've ever seen, ever. So what God is going to show you is slightly different from everybody else. And it's going to be so beautiful that no one else can do this. Because this is why God created you and me. So that we can individually love God perfectly, greater than anybody else. Because that's our life. Therefore, Jesus says, our image is far away from them. Is the image of God far away from you and me? Spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament, adoring him and loving him and praising him with his adoration, with his glory, with his praise, with his love. Our image is far away from them. Read, study, put into practice the Book of Heaven. Jesus is going to show you how this is going to happen and why this is going to happen. As you read. And again, you could receive 30, 60, or 100-fold. Whatever you want, you're going to receive. I hope and I pray it's 100%. 100%. So we're free of the world, the flesh, and the devil. So that we embrace the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's what God's waiting for. And that's why he said, when I find the souls that want the divine will more than anything, I will give it to them. He hasn't found anybody yet. He's found Louisa. She's the mother of the little children. We have to work hard at this. It's not easy. Why isn't it easy? Because you got to give up your human misery. That's what's not easy. You fall into worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. That's what you've learned. And Jesus says, I want to teach you a new way of peace, joy, and happiness. Yeah, the evil one's going to be around for a little bit longer. And he's going to try to discourage us, worry, we'll be worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, negative. No, you say no to that. No, I'm going to be peaceful. Why? Because Jesus is going to reign in me. I'm going to be joyful. Why? Because Jesus is going to remain in me. I'm going to be happy. Why? Because Jesus is within me. Our image is far away from them. How can we ever look alike if they do not know us, Triune God? And if nobody talks to them about our divine being? This is what he says to Louisa. Louisa, put this down on paper so they can begin to look like us and know us. Because you, Louisa, are writing down what I am telling you about our divine being. Give this to our children. And that's why we go to a room, close the door, and pray every day, reading the Book of Heaven. You'll be filled with such peace, joy, and happiness. And it's that which the world cannot give you. Now, the last part is letter 61. I hope that your first act will be to feed your novices with the bread of the divine will. This is to a sister, a nun, a mother of a community. Your first act, you have to feed your novices with the bread of the divine will. What does she mean? Read the Book of Heaven to them. I hope you're doing that with your children. Come here, let me tell you something that Jesus told Louisa. Come here, let me tell you something that the Blessed Mother told Louisa. Listen to this. They will be changed. They will be filled with peace, joy, and happiness. Louisa says, however, in giving this first bread, the bread of the divine will, you have to spice it with a strong dose of love. You have to spice it with a kindness all celestial. You have to spice it with the sweetness of Jesus on your lips, so that they, the little ones, may find such great taste in it that a few words may be enough for them in order to become saints, in order for them to begin to live volume 1 through volume 10. How to become a divine mirror of Jesus. How to become a saint. Nor shall they look for long discourses, which while attracting the hearing, leaving the soul starving. See, it's not eloquence. It's Jesus speaking to you. This is why your prayer meetings should be, you know, you pray the Holy Rosary to calm your soul. You know, calm your soul down. Pray the Holy Rosary. You know, find the mysteries for that day and pray it. And then listen to the priest read the Book of Heaven. Or parts of the Book of Heaven. Or like what we're doing here, a theme from the Book of Heaven. Don't be for hours and hours and hours. Focus on something very simple so that they can hear it. And again, you can repeat yourself. It's very, very important. A good teacher, they say, has to repeat something 7 times for the student to hear it. He says, she says, dearest mother, tell them on my behalf, on Louisa's behalf, not to pay attention to the specks and the straws, but to the celestial bread that Jesus wants to give them through you. That is, the bread of the supreme fiat. Nor shall Jesus ask them for any other account than this, that his daily divine will, that his divine will be accomplished in everything. I want the divine will to accomplish everything in me. I want nothing of the human anymore. I want only the divine. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.